have filled up these jars miraculously on his own. But he asked the servants, hey, fill them up with water. Now, they couldn't turn them into wine, but they could fill them up with water.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick, your host today with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church right here in Chicago. We're so excited to be in a series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Pastor Mark, you're taking us in the book of John through stories of how Jesus encounters people's broken story and he rewrites it. And this is the second part of the story of the wedding at Cana, Jesus' first miracle, and he takes these people past empty. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this message is entitled Moving Past Empty. And Joshua, I think that all of us have experienced times when something runs out. Your money runs out and you're kind of stressed over that. Your love runs out and you feel like, hey, my marriage is at the end of the rope. Your faith runs out and you're inundated by doubt. Your spouse runs out and you're left with three kids figuring out what to do. I think all of us have experienced times when what we thought was always going to be there, what we thought was going to be there, is not there anymore. And some of you may relate to this feeling right now. I thought my spouse was always going to be there. I thought this job was always going to be there. I thought this community or friend was always going to be there. If you are struggling through that right now, something has run out, then this message is for you. You need to listen up because God has a way. He has a way of helping us move past empty if we're willing to trust him and step into his plan for us.
Yeah, what a great thought. And you're going to take us here in the second part of this message into how we need to cooperate with God in the rewriting of that story, taking faith-filled steps of obedience. That's going to take hope, and you need the hope that indeed God can rewrite your story. So friends, we're going to turn now to John chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. This message is called Moving Past Empty.
You know, the normal vow says to love and to cherish, be faithful to this woman. And I basically took it to the next level and said, you're not going to sleep with anybody else, not have sex with anybody else, not look at any other woman, faithful only to her. I mean, these were like ramped up steroid vows. The groom was kind of like looking at me like, whoa, this is a high commitment. I just sort of did my interpretation of the vows. They're still married, by the way. But, you know, it wasn't the way this bride expected it to turn out. The pastor wasn't supposed to leave the stage. The vows were supposed to be different. So sometimes our reality doesn't match our inner expectation. This woman, the wine ran out. It was embarrassing. She was supposed to be full, but she was running on empty. And I believe that can happen to any of us at any time. And some of you are living in a mental expectation that you had, but your reality doesn't match what you expected this season to look like. Number two, not only can we experience emptiness and unexpected seasons of our life, but I want you to understand that we start breaking the cycle of empty the moment that we invite Jesus into our empty challenge. The Bible says that Jesus' mother said to him, when she found out that they had run out of wine, they have no more wine. Jesus says to his mother, woman, it's not a disrespectful term. It's like kind of saying, mom, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to his servants, do whatever he tells you to. I want you to see in this passage something really interesting. Jesus was at the wedding, but no one had yet invited him into the problem. I believe that sometimes you have Jesus around you in life, but the problem is that many times we don't invite Jesus into our emptiness. He's there, he's around, he has the power, but someone has to believe that this Jesus, the Son of God, this powerful Savior with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he has the power actually to change things around and invite him into your emptiness. Some of us are used to a church Jesus, a Jesus that looks very stale, stagnant, and impotent. A Jesus that hangs on a wall, but not a living, powerful, dynamic Savior. Someone like Mary has to realize, hey, I know this man. His disciples didn't even know the power of Jesus yet. They were following him, but they had not really seen any miracles that he could do. They hadn't seen his glory yet. And I feel like some people that I run into, you haven't seen the glory of the living Jesus yet. You're not inviting him into your problem because you really don't know how powerful he is. You think he's limited to the religious circles, not to the real life circles. And so Mary understood Jesus. She knew the story behind Jesus. And so she invites Jesus into this problem. She's kind of a typical mother, right? They run out of wine. Don't worry, my son will handle it. Jesus, come on. Can you do something about it? Anybody have mothers like that? The neighbor's car breaks down. You say, Mom, Mom, no, you know how to fix it. My son knows how to fix it. Son, go fix it. Mom. So Jesus goes. He's invited into the problem of emptiness that exists there. And I want you to notice the phrase that makes a difference in this passage. Jesus' mother says, do whatever he tells you to do. You see, the turnaround comes when you stop telling God what you think he should do and when you start asking him what he wants you to do. Oh, no, I'm talking to someone here. I know that. You see, there's a big difference between telling God what to do and inviting God to tell you what to do. Many of us have that relationship with God. You're in a jam, you're in a difficult circumstance, and you pray telling God what to do. And you feel like your prayers aren't really answered, that God's not doing what you've told him to do. But let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. There's a sovereign God of the universe that reigns on high, whose foolishness is higher than our highest wisdom. The sovereign God of the universe who expects you to say, hey, I put my life on pause. What do you want me to do, God? When's the last time you've asked God that? Not God, do this for me, but when's the last time you said, God, I'm listening, I'm here. What do you want me to do in the middle of this emptiness crisis? I've done some marital counseling a lot in the past. I don't do as much now, but I've been invited into some marriage difficulties where I will sit down at the table with a couple that's having difficulty. And I remember in one occasion specifically that I had been invited into a marriage problem. They were, you know, they're not happy with each other when there's a space between them. And they kind of face a little bit like this. And so I said, I'm okay, I'm willing to sit down. Let's talk a little bit about it. And the man immediately jumped in. Pastor, you need to tell my wife that she needs to stop nagging me so much and she needs to get behind me. And Pastor, you need to tell her that I need someone to support me and someone to back me. You need to tell her that she can't be tearing me down all the time, that I need someone in my corner. And Pastor, you need to tell her. After a while, I said, hold on. Who's the counselor here? Because I thought I was the counselor. And you just been spent the last 15 minutes telling me what I need to tell your wife. When you invite God into the situation, a counselor is of no good if you're telling the counselor what to tell the other person. And some of us treat God that way. You're telling God what to do with your circumstance, but you're not listening to what God has to tell you about what you need to do about your circumstance. There needs to be an invitation of the presence of God into your circle of emptiness. And can I tell you this about God? He has a propensity, a proclivity, an inclination for people to walk in fullness and not emptiness. In fact, I look at the nature of God, and his nature is not for you to live empty. His nature, over and over he tells us in Scripture, is that you would experience fullness in your life. John 10:10, if you're taking notes, jot this down. You need to know this verse, understand it. Because the essence of this verse is so encouraging. John 10:10, the thief comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your destiny. He comes to kill the God-given dreams. who God has called you to be, and he comes to destroy everything that God has engineered you to be. That's what the thief comes to do, the enemy. But what does Jesus come to do? This is Jesus speaking. I came that you may have and enjoy life. Say it together, life. And have it in abundance. And the Amplified Version says, to the full till it overflows. I love that. Jesus said, I have come that you would have life, not just survival life, but life abundantly to the full and overflowing. That is my purpose and destiny and desire for everybody that calls upon my name, for those that are called according to my purposes, who I have engineered. I want you to be full and overflowing with my presence, my joy. That's his destiny for you. Look at what it tells us in John chapter 1, verse 16. For of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Grace is something that we don't deserve, but he gives us. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Here's what I want you to know. God has created, engineered you, designed you, made you, not to operate in survival empty mode, but to operate in fullness mode. If you are not living in fullness, it's not because God doesn't want you to be full. It's because you haven't tapped into understanding what it means, how God intends to fill you. Fullness. Mary invited Jesus to deal with the problem of emptiness. And she said, do whatever he tells you. Number three, we move past empty when we're willing to take steps of faith-filled obedience. Verse 6, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw out and take it to the master of the banquet. I want you to see what Jesus does here. This is really, really important. It's an insight into how God works. Many of us want God to fix our problem. We want magical dust from on high. We want a wave of a wand. We want a lightning bolt from heaven. But we don't want to do anything. We want God to do everything.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Moving Past Empty, which is from our brand new series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message and information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Our message, Moving Past Empty.
God could do miracles however he wants to do miracles. But I've noticed in Scripture that his pattern is to have us do something and then he adds to what we can't do. He could have fed the 5,000 without anything, but he decides to take the lunch of a little boy and multiply it. Because God wants us to do the possible so that he can do the impossible. God could heal the man with a withered arm without even touching him or that man doing anything. But instead, he asked the man to come forward and he says, stretch out your arm. He wants us to do something so that he can do what we can't do. God could heal the blind man without making mud in the ground, but he spit and make mud and he put mud on the eyes and then he healed him. You see, I believe that God's pattern is to ask us to do something. And when we do the little that we can do, he does the impossible that we can't do. But we have to do our part. We have to take a step. We have to be willing to say, okay, I will take a step. God could have filled up these jars miraculously on his own. But he asked the servants, hey, fill them up with water. Now they couldn't turn them into wine, but they could fill them up with water. So they filled up these ceremonial jars that were used for cleansing, these big gallons. They filled them up with water. When they did what they could do, God did what they could not do. Man, I'm talking to someone here. You say, God, I have this bitterness and anger and hatred inside of me. Wave a magic spiritual wand and take it away. You say, God, take this away. And you say, God's not doing what I ask him to do. Well, remember, God doesn't like you to boss him around. God wants you to listen to what he wants you to do. But I also want you to remember that I believe that God wants us to take a step. You say, take this anger away. And you say, God's not taking this unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness out of my heart. What's wrong? It may be that God says, all right, I'm going to do what you can't do, but you have to do what you can do first. You need to pick up the phone and have that conversation and say, I forgive you. You may need to write a letter saying, hey, this is very difficult. It's really hard, but I'm releasing you. You may need to have that personal conversation. You say, Pastor, I don't feel it. Hey, you don't have to feel it for God to work. You have to take a step of obedience, because sometimes it requires us to do what we can do. You can fill up the jars with water, but only Jesus can turn it into wine. You can say, I forgive you, but only Jesus can take the hatred out of your heart and release that vial of forgiveness. I'm saying that you need to do your part and let God do what you can't do. Are you tracking with me? So many of us are stuck because we're not willing to fill up the jars with water. We just want God to fill up the jars and turn it into wine. You say, well, Pastor, I really want to deal with this addiction. Lord, just take it from me. It's not working, Pastor. Well, maybe God wants you to go to a 12-step program and start attending a class, and then God will do what you can't do by filling you with his power. Take a step in faith. God, I really need to get out of debt. I could use a check of $25,000, just, you know, however you want to do it. Lottery ticket, I'm okay, Lord. Floating down from heaven, I'm okay. Relative that I don't know that dies and leaves me inheritance. God, I'm really good with that. Well, however you want to do it. But if you could just provide about $25,000. Yeah. Or maybe God says, apply for a job. And I will bless it. But you take a step. Fill up the jars. What is the step that God is asking you to take? Listen. What is the step that today God is asking you to take, if you're listening to him, and say, take this step of obedience? Chances are it's not a new step. It's a step he's been nudging you towards, a step that he's been reminding you about, a step that he's been saying, take this step. What is the step that God is asking you to take that you can do? And if you do it, you release or set yourself in a place to allow God to do what you can't do, the miraculous, the impossible. What is the step? Number four, and lastly, so they poured the water. God turned it into wine, Jesus. We're talking about 180 gallons of not Walmart cheap brand. This is vintage wine. That means 1,000 bottles of wine. So not only do we end up at empty at any time, we start breaking the cycle when we invite him in and we're willing to take faith-filled steps of obedience. Number four, and lastly, we move past empty when our filling is overflowing to the people around us. The Bible said, so they did it. And then the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, hey, everyone brings the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests has had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now. Man, this is so powerful. Some of you have lived your life in a certain way, and now you're on empty, feeling like this is the worst days of my life. The best days of my life were when I was naive and full of fun and I was 21, but now everything goes down from there. But yet God is saying, no, no, you have it all wrong. You may be empty now, but I'm about to fill your jars with the wine that's better than the jar, than the wine that you had before. I want to fill you up into place. You see, normally at a wedding, you serve the good wine first. And then when everybody's a little tipsy, you bring out the cheaper wine because they don't care by that time. And Jesus said, this is all reversed. You serve the cheap wine first, and now the best wine has filled the jars. I believe that this is a prophetic picture of what God wants to do in our life. I believe that God wants to fill some of you with the best years you've ever known, with the best season you've ever experienced, because you've known empty. And now God says, the better is coming now. And here's what I want you to know. It tells us in John chapter 7, verse 38. You say, well, what does that look like, Pastor? John 7, 38 says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Look at me. It is God's will that as a follower of Jesus, you don't have stagnant puddles in your heart, but you have this refreshing river of living water filling you up and overflowing to everybody that's around you. What does that look like? It means that you have a love that doesn't come from yourself, but supernatural. It means that there's a joy that flows out of you because God is at work in you. It means that there's a hope that fills your heart. It means that when you get around people, people are splashed with the presence and the glory and the goodness of God. It means that you're not running dry, but you're overflowing because he's filling you up over and over and over again. Oh, it doesn't mean that you never go through hard times, but it means that there is a steady river of life, the river of God, the Holy Spirit flowing inside of you, and everybody around you becomes benefited by the river that flows from you. I'm going to close with this. Listen, if you are a believer here today and you're not walking the fullness of the Spirit, it's not because God doesn't want that for your life. It's because there's something blocking the funnel that fills you. The Bible says that we can grieve the Spirit, that we can quench the Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel it. I don't have that joy. Then I'm going to say that's not God's will for you. I would ask you this question. What is the one step that God wants you to take to unplug the funnel so that the flow of his Spirit can fill you up again? What is the one step that God's asking you to take? And some of you need to say, Lord, this is hard. This is difficult. If it was easy, you would have done it a long time ago. And if you're a believer, you need to ask, what's the step I need to take? Secondly, if you are here and you say, Pastor Mark, I'm just kind of new to all this. I don't consider myself a follower of Jesus or a believer. I don't think I've even ever had the Spirit inside of me. But what you talk about today, I've lived with emptiness and I know I need God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the second half of his message called Moving Past Empty. It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we move into our new message called How Full Is Your Bucket? As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.